At the end of each month, we check in with Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson for updates on environmental stories from around the basin. For today's Great Lakes Month in Review, we look at the latest developments in Flint's drinking water problems, a conference exploring how to fix the region's water quality issues, and what the outcome of a Supreme Court case could mean for Michigan's energy policy. Gary Wilson, welcome back to Current State.
Good morning, Mark. Good to be back with you. And before we start, I have to ask, how's your basketball team doing? Are they any good this year?
You haven't been following this. Yeah, we've been making some news here on that front.
I have to say, Chicago media, even before the tournament started, has been all over the Spartans, expecting big things.
It's a pretty delirious day after the two games that we had this weekend, needless to say. So, Gary, let's get down to business here and talk some water. A recent Gallup poll found that the environmental issue Americans worry about the most is drinking water quality, and that's an issue that's been front and center here in the Great Lakes for the past year. The issues Flint is having with its water has garnered national attention, most recently in a New York Times article. Remind us briefly what people's concerns are about the water.
Sure, Mark. The problems in Flint started last year when Flint switched its water source from the Detroit water system to the Flint River. Subsequent testing there revealed high levels of fecal bacteria, never good, and the residents were told to boil the water. That prompted Flint to add a chemical agent that elevated levels to deal with the bacteria, and that caused another health warning. They got too much of that agent in the mix, which isn't good. So a couple of those issues with the fact that even though Flint officials say the water is safe, it's not unusual for residents to open the tap and get various colors of water. The New York Times story, and that's one place you never want to be when you've got a negative issue you're dealing with, is in the New York Times. Residents are reporting that they would open the tap one day, and the water might be a sort of a brackish yellow or orange, or it could have a blue tint. And no matter what officials say about it being safe, there's nothing about that scenario that inspires confidence.
Well, the latest tests apparently indicate that this chlorine byproduct that had been a concern, that the levels of that chlorine byproduct are back down to safe levels. Are there still anecdotal incidents where people are turning on their tap water and it's coming out brown or what?
Yes, there are. And again, in that Times article, one woman is quoted the water is various colors. And this woman indicated that she's spending $400 a month on bottled water. Her family drinks it. She said her cats drink it. So again, these aren't good things to be dealing with. And who has $400 a month to spend on bottled water?
Jerry Ambrose is Flint's emergency manager. He's the former budget director for the city of Lansing. Here, it's a guy a lot of people in Lansing know. He maintains the water is safe to drink. Where is this going?
Well, I think that trust has been lost, and the city council voted to return to Detroit water, and Mr. Ambrose doesn't believe that that's necessary. I don't know where it's going, but I know where it should go. And I think Flint needs to go back to Detroit water, even if it's a little bit more expensive. People, I believe, are willing to pay a bit extra to have assurance that when they open the tap, the water is going to be safe to drink. That's just something here in 2015 that, most of us don't have to worry about. And it's unfortunate with in Flint, with all of its other problems, that they're having to cope with something as basic as safe drinking water.
We're talking to Great Lakes commentator Gary Wilson about this month's biggest environmental stories from around the Great Lakes Basin. Another water issue that isn't likely to go away anytime soon is nutrient runoff from farm fields, which was primarily to blame for the toxic cyanobacteria blooms in Toledo last summer. You attended a conference just last week in Chicago about the issue. Who was at the conference and what came of it?
Sure, Mark. It was an invitation-only water quality conference sponsored by Chicago's Environmental Law and Policy Center. The U.S. EPA had a big presence there. Michigan's Office of the Great Lakes was there. Longtime Michigan environmental executive Lana Pollack made a forceful presentation. Your listeners may know Pollack. She's the U.S. chair of the International Joint Commission, the U.S. agency, U.S. and Canadian agency that advises on water issues. There were various state agencies from around the region there, especially Ohio, and a strong contingent of environmental groups. So it was a good conference, and a lot of candid and refreshing conversation took place.
Was there any kind of call to action?
Not a specific call to action, Mark, except repeating stated positions. Everybody's in favor of improving drinking water quality and stopping agricultural pollution. The question is always, how do you get there? And people are divided. It depends on who you talk to. The big news at the conference that was debated was Ohio just passed a law aimed at limiting agricultural pollution. It prohibits farmers from spreading manure on frozen fields, which they've been doing. And that manure just runs off into the waterways. Post-Toledo water crisis, the Ohio contingent, including the environmentalists, are fairly proud of this bill. But I asked Lana Pollack how effective the bill would be, and she said, and I'm quoting now, that it's flawed and incomplete, but acknowledged that it is a step forward. I think that represents the consensus of the folks I talked to, though some Ohio officials may disagree with me. I think they think that they've pretty much got it right.
Let's talk about a different environmental concern that's not at the top of everyone's mind, climate change. The Gallup poll I just mentioned a bit ago found that the environmental issue people are least concerned about is global warming, but the threat of global warming has been a big impetus behind the Obama administration's new rules on power plant emissions. Michigan is currently part of a lawsuit challenging the mercury limits contained in those provisions. Tell us what's at stake in this case.
Sure, Mark, and I would say Michigan is not only part of the lawsuit. There are 19 states who have sued the EPA, but Attorney General Bill Schuette has been a leading proponent of it. His name is prominent anytime the lawsuit is mentioned in publications that I've been researching. The suit's position and Schuette's position before the Supreme Court says that the EPA rule is too costly, and those costs were not considered as is required before a rule of this magnitude can be implemented. Those costs, according to Schuette, would eventually be passed on to consumers via the rates, and he doesn't think that's a good deal. That's why he's... And the other states, it's not just Attorney General Schuette, the other states are being so aggressive before the Supreme Court.
Governor Snyder emphasized a move toward renewables and natural gas in his energy speech earlier this month. Does the outcome of this lawsuit impact the direction the state's going to take when it comes to energy?
Well, that's a good question, Mark, and it's probably one of those things that's hard to gauge. But I would say if Michigan and the other states prevail, it could be an incentive to slow down Governor Snyder's desire to move away from coal. As you remember in his energy presentation, he talked about wanting to move away from coal. Here's what's curious, and it's an important point. Governor Snyder and Attorney General Schuette seem to be working at cross purposes. Snyder, for the most part, and his energy message is forward-looking, and he wants to move away from coal. Schuette's legal action reinforces Michigan's dependence on it. Michigan gets about 60% of its energy from coal, 10 from renewable, I think 15 or so from nuclear, 10% from natural gas. So coal is still pretty dominant, and it's just hard to figure out why the governor and the attorney general would be sort of working at cross purposes.
Always interesting and informative to get with Gary Wilson. We've reviewed the month's biggest environmental stories here. He is our Great Lakes commentator and journalist here that joins us monthly on Current State. Thank you, Gary.
Always good to be with you, Mark, and I hope next month we can go back and talk about a green and white championship.
Absolutely. Sounds like fun. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
This segment is sponsored, is supported by the Michigan State University Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.